Dream Team. The Dream Team is where? In the stream. Do you have a Dream Team on campus? Okay, this morning, for this session, right, if you look at your, go through your click thing. Everybody try to click at the same time, okay? So we're not distracted by sporadic clicks. Okay. We are in message number 4 of the second morning session, page 65. Are we all on the same page? Okay. Of course, in the this line on we're learning. Hallelujah, we're learning. Even I enjoyed last session, the brother shared, we're learning how to persevere. Amen. Don't think one day you got it, right? Aaron, you got it. Oh, I can no. It's a lifetime thing. Amen. We're learning. Remember that big L we're all wearing on our shirt, right? Learning to persevere in prayer. Okay, so every one of these ones, of course, except that one on Wednesday, but still we're learning. Learning to know the peace of Christ. Are you learning to know the peace of Christ? Receiving the word of Christ. Learning to what? Set our mind on the things which are above. Learning to what? Right, persevere in prayer. Right, and of course tomorrow, learning to walk. Okay, then here in this session that we are on this morning, we have what? Effective. I like this. Don't omit that adjective, effective. It's not just saying gospel preaching. All kinds of Christians, right, are gospel preaching. But is it effective? Not so simple. We're talking about, in the Lord's recovery, effective gospel preaching. What? And what? Shepherding. Effective gospel preaching and what? Effective shepherding on college campuses, right? So we saw, right, Tuesday, right, so we need to seize the opportunity at your age, right, to preach the gospel during your college years. Those were my best years, those years at UCLA from 1968 to 1972. Golden years. Of course, we didn't have a lot of the things that you have today. We didn't have teams and all this kind of thing. Anyhow, we did what we could. We gained a number of ones there at UCLA, right? From 68 to 72, right, even in the midst of Kareem Jabbar and Bill Walton and all these guys, basketball fans, right? Wednesday, right? We saw interceding in twos or threes. I hope that on your college campuses that you have begun to intercede with two and three of you together. Even though there may be, I don't know, how many students are there, church students are there at Wright State, Aaron? You know, how many? Yeah, right. I mean, in the church life. Yeah. 10, 12? I see. So I don't know if they're being, the fellowship is to break these ones down into smaller groups of twos and threes. I don't know. But we should head towards this direction, okay? Interceding in twos or threes and persevering in prayer. Here we are again. Then, yesterday, the all-inclusive shepherding needed to present every man, what? Full-grown, in not just to get him saved, not just to get him, to call on the Lord, pray, read the Word, get him baptized. No, it's to present them full-grown in Christ. That takes a lifetime, not overnight. Okay, this morning we'll look at this point, being burdened. Are you burdened?
Amen.
Hopefully we're all burdened. Being burdened to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus. And I'm considering how to handle this message, what to do. Okay, I was considering this way. Of course, I like history a lot. In 1998, I moved from Connecticut to Southern California to serve with the Living Stream Ministry, to serve in a big project called the Collected Works of Witness Lee. And we began to labor in 1998 in Living Stream to get every message by Brother Lee into print. And we had to convert. I worked in archive. We set up an archives department called Archives and Information Section of the Living Stream Ministry. We began to take all of those old reel-to-reel tapes, cassette tapes, everything, all the way back from the early 60s, and put those and burn them onto CDs so that the editors can take those messages and put them into print. And I think most of you or all of you are familiar with that. Then we began to come out with the volumes, right? Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1963, 64, 65, 66, 67. And then, if you got into the 1967 messages, we were amazed. Brother Lee had some fellowship given to the church in Los Angeles about how to have a prevailing gospel work on the campuses. And it was like, what? 1967? This is 2010. How can what was ministered in 1967 apply to us in 2010? I mean, that's the old world stuff. You know, the obsolete. You know, I remember getting those Collected Works volume 67 going through, and I did what? And right away, I emailed Tim C. I emailed some of the brothers involved with the campus work. I said, brother, you have got to get... I got into those, and it was about 65 pages of fellowship that Brother Lee gave in 1967 on how to work on the campuses. We have a team, in a small team in Newington, Connecticut, working at Central Connecticut State University. And what we began to do, of course, we had a team of seven, and now it's down to about two or three, but anyhow, we began to work with our students, right, in getting into those messages. But I'm kind of jumping ahead here. Okay, so Brother Lee began to fellowship in 1967 to the whole recovery, how to have a prevailing. And you look at the item, point number two, see? The only way, this is Brother Lee, the only way to carry out a dynamic, notice the adjective, dynamic, powerful, and what? Prevailing, he uses, gospel work on any, not just big ones like UT, UW in Seattle, or, you know, Ohio State. The only way to carry dynamic, powerful, prevailing, right, gospel on any college campus is to what? Is to form a nucleus of full-timers, right? No. You have to listen to me carefully. Is to what? That's my way to keep you awake. Is to form a what? A nucleus of... students. Like me, right? No. But anyhow. I'll get into that a little later. How I gained student status. Okay. A nucleus of students that what? That can take up. I like that. Take up what? The leadership on that campus. Okay. We know. Of course, some of us have been around a while. You believe me, at UCLA, we tried everything to preach the gospel. I told you that we did open-air preaching like Wesley and Whitfield in the 1700s. We broke up anti-war demonstrations by preaching the gospel. We would also, at other times, we would go into these outside, you know, what do you call them, in, on campus camp. Not canteens, a place where you get food and drink, this kind of snack areas. We would go into those snack areas, pray, listen to us, Jesus. You know, we would break. You thought Berkeley was radical. It's called the church in Berserkley. But anyhow. I mean, we did some crazy, we did some crazy stuff. But the Lord is merciful. We gained some. We did gain some. You know, Jim Day. I know you know Jim Day. He's one of the top engineers in what, in earthquake, seismic engineering, you see, we gained him. Anyhow, we gained a bunch. Well, Simon testified. Two of his friends or colleagues there in school are contending for Nobel Prize. You know, that's not a small thing. Anyhow, so we did gain some. But by and large, what we did, and we heard what all the other campuses doing, they were struggling, striving, they were trying everything. Nothing was working. And then what was happening over all the years in University of Texas, Austin, the brothers, you know, began to labor in a particular way. Brother Lee told them they need some full-timers. They had a unique situation there. They began to build up a campus work that was really prevailing. Full-timers, students, and that. And then, because all of the churches in the recovery in the 80s and 90s were struggling, you know, I spent a lot of time up in Berkeley with Paul Hahn, you know, David, some of those brothers, Jake and those brothers, trying to, you know, they got a big hall next to the UC Berkeley campus. They would try to work on the campus, get the students over to the meeting hall, set up a computer center, right, you know, in the hall. They, you know, we did all kinds of things, struggling, striving. How can we, all this time we didn't realize it. 1967, Brother Lee gave us the way already. So anyway, we're struggling. A lot of ones, even, you know, would graduate from college and before the training, and they would want to be burdened to go back on campus, and they would go back by themselves, try to do something on campus, a failure. They said, this doesn't work, back to work. And this went on for years. Then something was happening at UT. Okay. Then the brothers, the co-workers, had a lot of fellowship. This is about 1997, 1998. And we realized, in fellowship with those brothers, you know, Tim and, of course, Don Looper was alive back then. And we fellowship. Why don't we start a, what's it called? A team training. Apprenticeship. Using Austin, under the auspices, you might say, of the church in Austin, where we can bring teams of full-timers, usually a team of four or five or six or seven or ten or whatever, bring them to Austin, get into what they are doing. They had raised up, I don't know, 40, 50, 60, 70 full-timers by then. And we realized, and let's make Austin an apprenticeship kind of program to bring these teams there, and all of the brothers, all the co-workers, this is really the Lord's leading for the Lord's recovery today. This is like 1998, so I think, Dave, right? 1998, Berkeley and Seattle, right? Well, so of course, he knows more than I do. He should probably share the history. But you were there. Did you go to Austin? 98. So, and how big was your team? Six. And I believe touched a lot about the campus labor in 1967. So what we did with our team, you know, as far as the team fellowship for the campus, we met, you know, for coordination and prayer, you know, Monday morning. How many of you here are on teams, apprenticeship teams? You see, you're Matt, University of Wisconsin. Where are you? Same. Ohio State. Oh, also, University of Wisconsin. What? Oh, yeah, because I joined that team. And you're Ohio State. Which school? Oh, Northwestern, the Wildcats, right? And but here, you know, any different ones, schools, campuses, right? So we have at least, where? In Chicago? Oh, Champaign-Urbana, the Fighting Illini, right? okay. On our team, right, there, we meet for the team fellowship. You know, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. Then these messages came out. We got to get into these messages. And if you look at this, right, here, Romans 2 that I told you, right? Okay, dynamic, powerful. That does not mean you cannot do something on your campus. Okay, don't take that wrong. Brother Lee is talking about prevailing, something that works, prevailing, that gains people for the Lord's recovery. Dynamic, powerful, prevailing work on any college campus is to form a nucleus of?
Students.
A nucleus of?
Students.
Okay, so we said, hey, Friday morning, let's change the format of our, you know, our team fellowship, and we'll have a breakfast and invite the students. Duh. Dawn's are. Maybe we should include the students. That might be something new, right? So we invited the students, not just the team. You understand, but we were just working with the team. The team is everything. We promoted the team. We fellowship with the whole church about the team. Neglecting the students. Brother Lee's whole burden in 1967 is the students would do it. Now again, okay, don't go back and say Bill Lawson says we're throwing away the team. Don't say that. Don't get me into trouble. You know what he said in Fairborn, Ohio? Whoa! No, don't. You need a real coordination. But I'm trying to bend the tree. You understand me? The tree is bent like this. So to get it like this, you just can't go because you have to go all the way like that. You have to bend the tree. So this morning I'm going to bend the tree all the way to the students. So we began to get into the message and began to have a major shift in our fellowship to include the students. Before, we were doing everything. You know, we were giving the messages in the Bible study. I mean, the students, they can't do anything, right? So Brother Juan Fuentes, some of you know Brother Juan Fuentes. So Brother Juan Fuentes and I are always back and forth. Let me do it. No, I don't want to do it this time. No, I want to speak. And eventually, so maybe we should consider to let the students give the Bible study. Well, I don't know. You know, they're so young, immature. You know, they can't do that much. We need weight in the meetings. Spiritual weight, you know, people that know what they're talking about. And we began to pray and fellowship, and we were like, wow, it's the students that have to take up the burden.
Amen.
Oh, and yeah, we're still learning, so we began to include the students in our fellowship on Friday morning. Include them, get their input, pray with them. Get them involved. And then in the Bible study, you know, on Thursdays we realized, let them give the Bible study. Oh, at the beginning that was not so easy, right? Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the main point, because we pass out these sheets, you know, like John's gospel in outline form. And then eventually we realized this, let them try it. As if Brother Lee didn't let us try things at UCLA. Drive the car into the ocean. When I look back, when I was at UCLA, the church didn't, and Brother Lee brings this out in those 67 messages. The church, he kept saying, the brothers, the leading brothers in the church should not touch the campus work. You read it, we go, oh my goodness. The brother should not interfere, should not touch the campus work. The students should do everything, but the students have to be in fellowship with the brothers all the time. And when I look back, that's exactly what happened with us at UCLA. The brothers, you know, those brothers, you know, of course, that's another matter. You know, those brothers never touched our work. They never came to campus to touch our work. what we did. They gave us the full freedom and liberty to have Bible studies, gospel meetings. We had meetings outside on campus, you know, gospel meetings. We'd many times, you know, they had a big fountain there on campus at UCLA. You know, they would all this, you know, water thing. We would all sit around and drinking at the fountain that never runs dry. We did all kinds of crazy things. The church never interfered with what we were doing, exactly along the principle of what Brother Lee shared in 1967. So we did that. We began to realize, let them give the Bible study. Let the face of the Bible study be the students, not us. I mean, look at me. They're wondering, well, what am I doing there? Of course, Juan's about 47. I'm a little bit older. You notice I didn't tell you how much. And then we realized. And then, of course, we had one of the full-timers, Brother Fulan Mala. He was in the full-time. And we had him give the, you know, he looks fairly young, you know. And he gave the Bible study a couple times. Then we began to realize more and more, let's let the students themselves give the Bible. And we will be there to support, you know, be behind them, to maybe add a few things. But they would bear the brunt of the whole thing. So we have been practicing that more and more along the line of brotherly fellowship in 1967. You have to read that fellowship. It's not a small thing. So this is what we have been practicing more and more to bring the students, right, Garrett? You students have to pick up the burden for the campus labor. With, you know, realizing, of course, the church is behind you, praying for you, but you have to be the face. So when the students come, because I won't want to stay on campus, I had to get student status. How am I going to get student status? But, we found out the state of Connecticut has a special program for those over the age, now this I'm afraid to say, for those over the age of something. For those over the age of 62. Anyhow. Well, those over the age of 62, that has a special program. I can take up to 10 units of classes for $62. I said, aha. Then I found out, you know, the bigger campus there in Connecticut called the University of Connecticut Store, UConn. You know, they're famous for mainly women's basketball. Anyhow. They've only won 78 games in a row. So anyhow, they're a little bit good in women's basketball. And they have a program. I can take up to 10 units of classes for $15. So I signed up for a class. So I was a student at two universities. I'm a student now. You didn't know that. I was a student. But I have to be laid back. I can't be the face. The face has to be Garrett. Right? Ones like these. The one, Garrett, to give the Bible study. Garrett, to share, you know, the riches from the ministry. Garrett, to meet other ones in his class. Garrett, to pray together with the other students. Garrett, you get the point. Okay, good. Anyhow, okay, then we realize the students have to be built up together to take up the burden. And the full-timers, of course, it's just Juan and I and Falon, but we realize, well, we have to really back off. But we will support, and we give them tremendous support, prayer, helping them, encouraging them, so they do the work. They bear the burden, okay? Then we realize we need to bring them together more, to pray together, they pray together, fellowship together, and so on. And then, to build the students up, a number of them got together and said, hey, let's have an intramural soccer team. So they did that. So those, our students, you know, together, you know, fellowship together. They started like an intramural kind of soccer league to catch their friends. You know, like Tim Sebas fellowshipping about in the reunion, about clusters, trying to break into your friends. Not just you gain one and keep the other one, you know, keep your relatives away. Be careful. They might damage Garrett. No, but use Garrett to gain Garrett's family, his brothers, his sisters, his cousins, his friends, his colleagues. You touch one grape and whoa, you get a whole cluster. I mean, that's what they're working on in Austin with these football, varsity football players. Anyhow, that's another whole story. So then, so the students got together more and more. I mean, they were intramural, sometimes late at night, 10 or 11 at night. Our students, right, in order to have more, like, building up more time together, they were playing soccer together against other teams. And we realized, well, this is very good for activity together to bring our students here on campus together. Then we heard, my goodness, without our saying anything, we heard our students, began to pray together on the Lord's Day evening. They initiated that, saints. We didn't say, you need to pray, Aaron, we brothers, you need to get together and pray once a week. How about maybe 7 o'clock on Sunday night and maybe pray for... We didn't do anything like that. They chose the time. They came up with the burden. They picked up the burden to pray together as students for their colleagues, their friends, the ones we're gained. So they're working, they're building that up. So every Sunday night, they pray, I think, for an hour or so. We have, of course, I moved there 2 years ago with another kind of like campus house. So now we have like 3 campus houses. Because we invest heavily. When we first moved to Kennedy, we realized, like the brothers shared, you know, you have to gain the students. How else are you going to? You have thousands of these young people all over the states, like in Connecticut, all over. They're unrelated, totally unrelated. Oh, you have a campus, you pool them all together. Do you know how many centuries it would take for us if we went door to door to try to reach a person in his home? So what did the Lord do? Like Bill Pierce said, he arranged it so all of these ones would all come to one place. So we don't have to go to 10,000 doors. They all come to one place, saints. They come to one place. They're all together in one. Now, why wouldn't you go to that one place? Why would you be so foolish as to go to 10,000 homes to try to find a student when you don't even know where they are, where they live, but they come to you? They're like, Brother Lee said, they're pooled together in one place, right? Anyhow, so I'm just sharing with you just a little bit of what we are doing there, okay, to involve and engage the students to take the lead on the campus, fellowship together, pray together, do things together, and we're doing it in coordination and fellowship with our team of 2 or 3. It's not a big team of like 10. There's just 2 or 3 of us, and we're realizing they need to do almost everything and learn in fellowship. And this, of course, is the burden here on this outline. And it's, you know, embodied here in the text, you know, with Brotherly's fellowship, right? 1967. If you read, he tells the history. He says, I worked on campus, universities, he said, with the communists. We and the communists in the 1920s were working on the campus to gain students. It was an incredible battle. Communism got some, and we got some. But he said he learned all the lessons. He learned the lessons. So in 1967, he shared with us the lessons. Right, of what he learned. How to have a dynamic, prevailing gospel work on the campus is a nucleus. See, it is a nucleus. That means a group where, you know, a nucleus, a group where everything is in fellowship, everything comes out. It's a group who are burdened prayer, and then it works. You have the cause, you have the effect, you have the morale. Everything works because you've got a nucleus built up. And this is what we need to have a prevailing campus work. Are we out of time, Dave? We still have more time? Okay. Okay. Preaching the gospel is a work for the entire body. We should not do the gospel work in an individualistic way. It's the way we did it before. It was terrible. Do it in the body. Right? See, B, the saints who attend a given school or college should first come together. The saints, you don't have to have a team. I think it may have become a kind of a feeding right, Dave. I don't know. You may know more. That if a campus, we didn't have a team, if we couldn't, you know, if you couldn't get a team, you couldn't get the finances, if you couldn't do it there in the locality where you were, then forget about it. No. If you can put together a team, amen. If you can't put together a team, amen. Use the principle of the nucleus, of the students there. You don't need a team. If something is not working or whatever is difficult, then don't be condemned. Work with the students to raise up a nucleus. Okay? All the burdened students need to come together at least once a week. I mean, they in Connecticut, we were shocked. Brothers didn't initiate that. They initiated that. We realized, wow, this is really the Lord. We didn't tell them what to do. Right? We didn't control them. Hallelujah. We should always go on with a nucleus. We should never go on independently. Right? We should always pray together. The primary matter that we should attend to is prayer. They pray, you see. Well, I told you, Lord's Day evening, they get together and pray. Pray for their companion. Pray for the ones in their class. Pray for this one. Pray for that one. Build us together. You see? Very, very good. Always fellowship with one another. Always make decisions as a nucleus. See? Saved, become members of the we should not be satisfied simply to bring people into our nucleus. Of course, that's a big part of it. It's not just that. We still need to pick up the burden to help them grow. Right? Those in the nucleus must know that their purpose is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. We're not just trying to get students saved. We're looking for building materials for the building of God's house in this age to prepare them to be the bride. Right? They would get saved. Right, or as they would come into the Lord's recovery, get into the church life, to become the body, to become the bride, right, to become the army, right, to be in the coming kingdom and to be there in the new Jerusalem. It's not just a matter of having a campus work. And we have special meetings too, right, in September coming up. We modify our regular meeting. And this time we're considering of having, instead of, if some of them, the freshmen, of course, want to go to a church or whatever, we have been bringing them to a special meeting we have on the Lord's Day morning that's not like a regular Lord's Table meeting. But now we're considering having a meeting right on campus on Sunday morning for those who want a church. Some are like that. So we're considering of trying to possibly rent a room there on campus with a club to bring them some ones there on the Lord's Day morning. So anyhow, other things we're considering. So those in the nucleus must know that their purpose is not merely to bring people forward, but to collect material. We went over that. Then G, no matter how many of us there may be in a locality or on a campus, see, in our preaching of God, everyone must be fully impressed that we are what? In one spirit and with one soul. Amen. Nothing is more convincing than this.
Amen.
When these new ones see the impact, you know, of a nucleus of these students, I tell you, they are attracted. We realize they just become a part of us. That's what happened when I got gained by the Lord. Of course, I came to a meeting And then, you know, this was the Lord's Day morning, November. I really enjoyed it. And then right away, the brothers found out I goes to UCLA. Aha, I knew later on they were working on me right away. So this is the Lord's Day, my first day. The next day is Monday, November the 3rd, 1969. David Dong and some of those brothers, they took me out preaching the gospel with them. Just, man, this guy's serious. You know, man. You know, I raised a Baptist. I mean, you only do that on Sunday morning. Right? You know, I was raised in the days of, what is it, Superman. You knew Superman, right? Clark Kent, a mild-mannered reporter and dressed in a nice suit. Then he goes into the telephone booth. Whoa, he becomes... That's the kind of Christianity I was raised in. You nice, I don't know, suit or something on Sunday morning. Then after 2 hours later, the thing is gone. Because you don't become Superman. But anyhow, I became another person for 6 days. And then I'm a mild-mannered reporter. Anyhow, that's how I was raised. And I couldn't believe it. What? You only do that on Sunday morning. They did it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wow, who are these people? I just was with them. I'm going to hang around them, be with them. All of a sudden, I became a part of them. I got caught. By just being with them, I got caught. They didn't have to pull me, drag me, anything. I was just with them. I became a part of them. I got gained, right, in those years. Because I got into, probably in a sense, maybe a kind of nucleus there with Gerald Chan, David Dong, Simon Yang, you know, Simon here, Art Dawson, Thomas Chang, Jim Day, Simon's wife, Sandy, was with us. David Dong's wife, Linda Dong, was with, you know, the whole bunch of us. We had a marvelous, incredible, unforgettable experience there on campus. Anyhow, maybe I'll stop there, but the nucleus saint is not a small thing. Don't think when brotherly fellowships with something, oh, that was 1922. You know, we think this way. Well, oh, that was 1967. Man, that was what, 48 years ago, I mean, my the Lord, that was in the ancient time. No. When brotherly fellowship something, it is not as... And he fellowship principles with us. You see, that's very valuable. Principles are very... Principles means what? You don't have to know the details of the fact. You plug in any environment to the principle, it works. Brotherly does everything by principle. He shared principles in 1967. Principles of nucleus, principles of prayer, principle, and you just, whatever campus you're on, what? You just practice the principle. It works. Anyhow, I really encourage you, seriously, to read those 60-some pages, mainly in Volume 2 of the Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1967. We went over those with the you know, with our students on campus to bring them into the burden, for them to realize. Okay. What, your turn now? Share something.